Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Lee Congdon to the broadcast. Lee is the Chief Information Officer of Red Hat, and in that role, he's responsible for the company's global information systems, including the technology strategy, enterprise architecture, information technology governance, solutions delivery, and systems operations supporting the company. His role includes enabling Red Hat's business through services such as knowledge management, technology innovation, technology-enabled collaboration, and process improvement. Prior to joining Red Hat, Lee was Managing Vice President of Information Technology at Capital One, where he developed and delivered information technology solutions for the firm's corporate functions and global financial services group. Prior to Capital One, Lee was Senior Vice President, Strategic Initiatives at NASDAQ, where he led the organization's efforts to identify, implement, and operate technology solutions for NASDAQ Japan, NASDAQ Europe, and other strategic global ventures. Earlier in his career at Citicorp, Lee led multiple global technology initiatives for the private bank and the corporate bank. Lee began his career at IBM as an operating system developer and held several technology and technical marketing positions of increasing responsibility. Lee has a bachelor's and a master's degree in computer science from Purdue University and a master's degree in business administration from the Kellogg School at Northwestern University. I recently caught up with Lee in his office in Raleigh, North Carolina, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 2, infrastructure, as we spoke about Red Hat's work in open source, virtualization, middleware, and the like, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed Lee's adherence to the concepts of business-driven IT and the methods he and his team used to be a source of innovation on behalf of Red Hat, as well as some other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Lee Congdon, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Lee, for those of our listeners who may not be so familiar with Red Hat, could you take a moment and just describe the business as well as your role in it?
Certainly. Red Hat is the world's leading provider of open source operating system, middleware, and virtualization solutions, and we're moving rapidly to cloud-based solutions as well. We were founded in 1993, went public in 1999. We have probably 3,700 employees in close to 70 locations in 30 countries around the globe. Our headquarters are in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we're listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, obviously, open source is available to everyone, but we provide services such as new features, hardware enablement, telephone support, defect resolution, you need a security patch, access to our knowledge base, documentation, education, and consulting to really ensure our customers are successful in deploying open source solutions. And it's a growing business, so it's great to have the challenges of growth as an IT organization. I think we're very well regarded by our customers, and I say that both Red Hat being well regarded by its customers as well as the internal IT organization building strong partnerships with our internal customers. I'm the CIO. So I essentially handle the non-product elements, sales automation, order processing, the financials, the people systems, the web properties, collaboration solutions, the intranet, and so forth. And then, of course, we partner closely with the product team to provide network access, power, and information security services so that they can develop the products effectively.
Excellent. And can you take a moment, Lee, to talk about your priorities for the foreseeable future?
I can. We are just launching fiscal year 12. Our fiscal year wrapped up just a few days ago, and really focusing on four key areas for FY12. First of all, business solution delivery. So we are wrapping up 7 strategic projects. We call a project strategic if it's over $1 million in spend, has cross-functional impact, or has long-term ramifications for the organization. So we've successfully completed 5 of those in the past year. We have 2 that are wrapping up and 2 in the process of launching right now. That'll be major initiatives for us this year. We'll also continue with departmental projects. And I anticipate that we may actually have some acquisition integration that we need to do for our business customers as well. In the second major area, it's operational and process improvements, just like any IT organization. We need to focus on our enterprise architecture. We actually have a pretty homogeneous processing platform on our own products now. But we anticipate with our growth that we need to extend that, and we also need to migrate to cloud-based solutions. So as a consequence, we'll be thinking through our data center strategy and our networking strategy and starting to move toward even more cloud solutions than we use today. We'll expand our service management processes. We'll work on our project processes, and we have a special push on business continuity this year. The third major area is going to be technology-driven innovation. We may talk about this a little more later on. Telephony is an interesting, I'll use the word opportunity. These are opportunity and a challenge, but thinking about our internal phone system, thinking about our mobile solutions, thinking about the rapidly advancing VoIP capabilities becoming available, and how we can deliver a better set of services and potentially take advantage even of some of the consumer services out there, extending our collaboration platforms, becoming more data-driven through business intelligence, and really leveraging mobile clients for some of our services, as well as moving to a new help desk or service desk model, wherein we'll be asking our users to do more self-support so we can expand the range of platforms that we provide to the organization. And then last but not least, capability growth, focusing on agility, efficiency, rapid cycles. Just like any business, we need to do more with less. Building our leadership and team capabilities, increasing the integration of the global team. My IT organization is in 30 locations, and we want to make sure that everybody can work closely together, even across those geographies. Better alignment with our business partners, better alignment with our vendors as well. And so it's a challenging agenda, but we've just come off a successful year.
That's great. Well, it sounds like a very exciting agenda as well, and one that is going to place IT very much as a focal part of the value that can be driven for the organization. It's exciting to hear you talk about that. I want to take a step back. You talked about the business areas that Red Hat traditionally plays in, and you mentioned a variety of pretty hot topics. I know in the work that I do and the many interviews like this one, as I ask CIOs to talk about trends they're particularly excited about, it seems like several of them are right in the sweet spot of your bailiwick, things like virtualization. You talked about moving into the cloud space and open source, of course. Since you work for an organization that has been on the forefront of some of the thinking around this, I'm curious, how has that translated into your team's use of these kinds of topics, these kinds of methods that a lot of your peers and other organizations are just now dipping their toe into?
Yeah, it's a great question. We really pride ourselves in being one of the earliest consumers of Red Hat products. Over the past couple of years, we've worked hard to be a key beta customer for those products, perhaps even before the official beta. We start on the desktop laptop. Most of our laptops run Linux, and we provide support for what we call the CSB, or our corporate standard build, our standard platform, on the recently available Red Hat Enterprise Linux, or RHEL, you'll hear me say, 6. So we worked hard to do the work with our product team to make sure that the day we launched RHEL 6 laptops, that they were ready to work with our wireless infrastructure, that the applications worked effectively, the browsers, and so on. So certainly that was a great partnership with the product division. We were an early adopter of Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization, or REV, and quickly put it to work in 4, 5, or 6, if I recall correctly, mission-critical environments. In fact, we just completed a white paper on that with the product group that's available through our customer sales organization. We've moved large parts of our workload to RHEL 6 over the last couple of months, file print around the globe, for example, and some of our key production workloads. And we've been very satisfied with the platform. We have a great working relationship with the product division. For several years now, we've been using our JBoss middleware as our enterprise service bus, and we're purposefully migrating that implementation from an ESB or enterprise service bus architecture to a services-oriented architecture deliberately over time. But JBoss has been a key part of how we exchange data amongst our various application components for some time now. And then as Red Hat continues to deliver cloud solutions, we'll also be an early adopter, and we're going to migrate our data center architecture, even inside, if you will, the sort of the private view of the data center, to a open source cloud model, likely based on our Delta Cloud initiative, which is a set of open source APIs for cloud providers.
I see. And you started by saying that you're a key beta customer for a lot of the systems. Does that mean then, Lee, that you and your team advise both those who are developing the product areas as well as those who will eventually sell it of the things that are working, those that are not, what's of value, what perhaps needs to be fixed and so on? Are you, in essence, providing the customer feedback prior to it going to other customers, essentially?
So, absolutely, but it's a little different at Red Hat than it is at a lot of companies. We're an open source company, so our product development is already occurring out in the public, if you will. So we're one of those voices, and we're proud of our partnership with the engineering organization. But unlike a traditional company where you may say there isn't direct feedback to the product division from the customers until the thing gets out the door, in fact, we're consuming technology that's already been developed by the community, packaged in our Fedora operating system, in the case of the operating system side, and then tested and certified before it shipped as RHEL. So we already have a lot of feedback in that process. But that said, I think we're able to provide the practitioner's view and the pragmatic reviews around things like resiliency, scalability, maintainability, and so on, and share those thoughts with our code developers.
Very interesting. I know in preparation for this that you're a big proponent of business-driven IT, and I can hear that phrase perhaps echoing in a lot of what you're discussing about the role that your team plays, the role you play with your brother and sister organizations and among the engineers and the product areas and so on. Can you define the way in which you've enacted what you've referred to as business-driven IT?
Sure, and I think this varies. I'll make the comment up front that this varies from company to company, and depending upon your role in the organization, your charter, your resources, and so on, different IT organizations have to do it differently. But for us, it's based on solid governance. You've got to have focus on what you need to accomplish. You've got to have clarity about who's responsible for what, and you've got to have money and other resources to be able to do the job. No IT organization should be signed up for things they simply don't have the resources to do. I've always run IT as a partnership, so you need to develop strong partnerships with your business and decide who's accountable for which piece and work together rather than a competition centered around cost or centered around requirements or something else. And that's working well for us, I think. I mean, first we had to deliver for our business and demonstrate that we were competent and capable. My philosophy is very much IT as a service organization, and that ultimately we're here to serve the internal and external customers, not necessarily to drive our own agenda, except in critical areas where we're accountable for corporate level issues such as information security. Back to the accountability thing, you know, clear understanding of what's to be delivered when, but ultimately that partnership comes down to developing trust on the part of your business partners. I think another area that's increasingly obvious to me as I look at IT organizations around the globe is that we have to realize that business users can increasingly provide or obtain the services themselves. Email, social networking, telephone, software as a service applications. If IT attempts to do things that restrict the business's ability to innovate or refuses to consider solutions that the business can see are readily available in the consumer marketplace, I think an IT organization that chooses to do that puts itself at risk because the business can simply pick the application, build it themselves, And then when they get tired of the pager calls at 2 a.m. or when the budget becomes unwieldy or because information security issues are brought to their attention by the auditors, they may well turn it back to the IT organization and say, you need to fix this for us. So far better, I think, for the IT organization to be partnering with the business and leading the business to new solutions rather than inhibiting or attempting to restrict the range of innovation. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, I think it's important to realize that IT owns some corporate responsibilities, information security, compliance, perhaps auditability, business continuity, cost control and efficiency around technology solutions. So you can't abdicate that either. You've got to find the right balance between leading the business to new solutions and delivering things that are going to be supportable and affordable. In our case, we've chosen to allow some of our business partners to actually do what I'll call cooperative development. Our recent customer portal delivery and our forthcoming new intranet site, our new website, were actually developed to a large degree. The functionality was developed by our business partners. Now, we provided the testing, the operational environment, the support processes, but they were able to develop the solution according to their needs. Now, we also provided a project framework and our agile development methodology to ensure that we didn't have an uncontrolled project situation, that we were following good project practices, and we did have good financial transparency to mapping results to the cost of the project, but at the same time, allowing technically skilled or businesses with access to technology resources to do their own development in this case was a great opportunity for partnership. We certainly got what we needed out of it in terms of the corporate responsibilities we carry and the ability to integrate it into our infrastructure. They got what they needed out of it, I think they would say, because they were able to define exactly what they need and shape it to their requirements without having to go through a layer of explaining it to someone and then waiting to see the results.
You mentioned as you were going through your priorities for the year ahead, Lee, that one of them is innovation. And I wonder if we can explore that topic a little bit further, and especially in light of the answer you just gave about the collaboration with your business partners and the fact that you're a service provider with them. How have you organized your team to be a source of innovation for Red Hat? And where is the line drawn between drawing innovative ideas from the business in terms of potential areas to explore versus, or I should say, complemented by suggesting back to them solutions that could address needs that they're articulating?
That's a great question. Again, from a standpoint of our maturity, we had to gain trust and confidence and be a trusted partner because we weren't that a few years ago. And so we had to develop credibility, in other words, to own the right to be able to recommend and push innovative solutions. You have to do the basic first, I guess, is a short way of saying that. Given that, I think we have now been able to present to our business partners an attractive set of innovative alternatives at multiple levels. I'll talk about some specifics in a second, but the short answer is everybody in IT owns it for their area of responsibility. And not only, and I'm proud to say that not only business-driven, but also inside the organization, folks looking for more cost-effective ways to solve problems, folks looking for new tools, folks looking to improve our processes on an ongoing basis is very much a part of the way we do business. And so that aspect of innovation is serving us well now. We don't have to orchestrate from the top every improvement. The people on the team take ownership of that. And like I said, I'm very proud of the fact that we've been able to get to that point. But specifically, some areas where we've structured teams to go do innovative work. Telephony, I mentioned a moment ago. Thinking about this idea of internal voice services, our call center requirements for customer support, our call center requirements for our inside sales folks, how those integrate to providing the SIP, if you know, the session initiation protocol, I guess is what the acronym stands for, but the ability to provide in the cloud, if you will, an access point for SIP services, not only voice, but also potentially chat, video, and so on. Thinking about how we integrate mobile into those platforms around the globe. And, you know, do you have one business number? Do you have multiple business numbers? Where do you keep your voicemail? Do we offer a voice-to-text service that allows people to more effectively access voicemail and so on? Thinking about the consumer services I mentioned earlier, we have a team who's charged with thinking through our telephony strategy, working with the customers that consume it, like our Red Hat customer service organization, and then determining where we're going to take those investments. We've been spending a fair amount of discussion lately. We don't necessarily have a platform yet, but thinking about collaboration, both building on our existing open source solutions for chat, email, and so on, as well as looking ahead with a pretty strong conviction that we're going to move our collaboration services ultimately to the cloud and buy them rather than implement them ourselves. We'll see how that plays out, but that's certainly a strategic direction for innovation in the collaboration space for us. You know, business intelligence ranges the gamut. We have a team, again, assigned here and have actually added some resources to that team very recently to start thinking about how we become more data-driven as an organization. How do we take reports and make them available simply to our business users? What unmet data needs are out there? Which platforms should we be migrating to for those business users that need better analytic capabilities? And again, what's our long-term strategy for moving some of that business intelligence into a cloud delivery model are all things that we've actually set a team aside to do. In the case of mobile solutions, I would say that we've actually energized the organization, Red Hat, to do this. We in IT did some things over the last year or two that made us a significant difference in the usability and effectiveness of mobility, specifically enabling push email not only on BlackBerries but on iPhone and Android devices in a secure fashion, and enabling the soft tokens that we use to access our network to run on those devices as well, made a tremendous difference for our end users. It sounds simple, but made a tremendous difference in daily use for our end users in terms of the steps and the keystrokes they had to go through to get their email and to get their calendar entries. And we're really relying on all of Red Hat to give us feedback about which phones work best, which tablets now work best, what mobile clients might be available, for example, for our sales automation application. And I think enabling that by allowing the users to discuss what they've discovered either on email distribution lists or in our internal collaboration platform is actually serving us very well. And we've tried to be open, and we've tried to make it a collaborative and participative process across the organization, I think with very good results. And that's actually led us to what we think is going to be a piece of innovation within IT next year, where we're migrating to what I'll call a community support model. It fits very nicely with our open source philosophy. It's something that we're pretty comfortable with from a sort of an approach, which is to start to think about, instead of the help desk or service desk now providing traditional services, you call with a problem, or actually we do much of our work via chat and email, but you present us a problem, we go work on it and come back and give you the answer. We're starting to migrate to providing support for a set of services, say backup, email access, file shares, business systems, and so on, and expecting our users, and we'll see how this plays out, but our intent is to start expecting our users to do more of their platform maintenance, meaning if they've chosen a Linux laptop, if they've chosen a tablet device, they'll be doing more and more of the work, and by the way, this is happening naturally in every business I talk to anyway, but they'll be doing more and more of the work of supporting the platform themselves. We'll provide a set of services, but we won't leave them in the lurch. We'll enable them to associate with the other people in the organization that are trying to solve the same problems. And, for example, learn how to attach a file share to a particular unique piece of software by collaborating with the technical experts that are doing it throughout our company. And the initial results of that in both the support for the Mac OS platform as well as support for the mobile device platforms has been very positive. And so we're thinking that that will start to look more like our general model for help desk or service desk services across the organization. And it's innovative because it's going to enable us to provide better support for our users while restricting growth of the organization, even as we're adding people and users and we're adding many more device types.
Excellent. The final question I wanted to ask you, I think you actually, in your last answer, addressed a lot of them. As I mentioned at the outset, based on your initial answer as to the business that Red Hat is in, you focus on so many areas that other CIOs would call out as trends that they're excited to grasp and begin to leverage to a greater extent within their organizations. You've already begun to talk about some of the innovative areas that you're focusing on. Any additional trends that come to mind that you're particularly excited about that you can see playing a role either personally or professionally?
Yeah, it's great fun right now to be in technology because this whole consumerization of IT really changes the game. But specific areas that you heard in my earlier remarks, mobile device capabilities are rapidly growing, and I won't be surprised if in a couple of years, instead of giving laptops to some associates or having them buy them, bring their own device, if you will, we'll have tablets that are providing many of the same capabilities and be adequate for at least content consumers, if not content creators. So mobile device capabilities would be on my list. I think software as a service. To the extent that I can, so many places that I've worked, you try and define a business process, and then you try and go out and buy software to match, and then you want to change the business process, and the software isn't quite right, and so on. I think this idea of being able to buy software network, get it up and running quickly, get an 80% solution to your business process, and iterate from that. One of the lessons that we learned, in fact, in working with one of our internal partners, is actually a very good solution. And so rather than having to go through the procurement, you can't do this for every situation, and sometimes scale won't allow you to do it this way. But where you can, in a startup or a new initiative, take advantage of a already working piece of software that you just access over the web, I think that's going to make some dramatic differences in the way businesses solve problems over time. Clearly, faster networks and more bandwidth, both on the wired networks to the home as well as the wireless networks, is going to be an important driver. Things have got to be responsive, and you've got to be able to get enough data down to the device and back. And then, again, something that we see as a tremendous business opportunity, but this idea of cloud computing services, both, I mentioned software as a service already, but utility computing, being able to buy VMs by the hour, virtual machines rather by the hour, I fall into the jargon. And also ultimately being able to develop applications on, I think, open source platforms that enable you to develop the application, but rather than in the traditional sense of IT builds it, you take it to the business, they say, I'd like this and this and this, and then IT says, well, give us a couple of months to make it scalable and resilient and secure. I think the promise of these new platforms and service offerings in the cloud say that the day you turn it on, it's already resilient and scalable and secure because of the underlying cloud technology. I think all of those things are very interesting trends. I'm sure you could cite some additional ones as well.
I think those certainly are a tremendous list, and given across the entire conversation, the various places that Red Hat generally is playing, as well as where IT within Red Hat is playing, it certainly seems like you've got an exciting set of months, if not years, ahead of you, Lee.
There is plenty of work. There's no question about that.
Well, Lee Congdon, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great pleasure to listen to you and to hear about your perspective. So I think I greatly appreciate you sharing them.
Thanks, Peter. I enjoyed it.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Many of Red Hat's global customers are experiencing the explosive growth of big, semi-structured or unstructured data. Are you? Visit redhat.com/liberate to learn how Red Hat is helping liberate their customers' data with innovative open source software solutions for scale-out network-attached storage. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT: Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information about these five principles and sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our editor is Chris Davis, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.